And I don't care what the haters of this church will say. One thing I know is that God is on our side. Amen. And as long as I have breath in my vocal cords, as long as I am moving, I'm not even worried about it. Amen. Because you know what? God is here. Praise the Lord. God is in this place. And the Lord has begun to speak to me some very unique things. Let me tell you, when I am out at work, I don't even know how I get to my destinations. Because throughout the trip, the Lord, the Holy Spirit is pouring so many things so quickly that I have to write while moving. You see this thing? I write while moving. As the Holy Spirit downloads things into my spirit, I have to write while driving, and I'm writing things, and I'm writing so quickly so that I may not forget. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I know that God is up to something. And if you don't believe it, all you got to do, or I can ask you to do, is stay here a little bit longer, and you will see the manifestation of the hand of the Lord. And when the Lord moves in your heart, when the Lord moves in your life, when the Lord moves in my life, it will leave no shadow of doubt. And every hater and every devil will know that surely the Lord is moving in a mighty way. Praise be to God. I want to bring the word of the Lord to us. And I want us to go into the book of Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3. Hallelujah. The book of Daniel chapter number 3. You guys have had a good week? Did every one of you had a good week? Amen. We got to pray for one another. We got to lift each other's up. I pray for as many of you as the Lord brings into my mind, and I cry out to God every single day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where's the book of Daniel? I can't find it on my Bible. Where is Ezekiel? Oh, somebody told me page 1038. I'll find it. Yes, here it is. Praise the Lord. Powerful piece of scripture. Love the book of Daniel. I would like you to be really attentive. If you have to write some notes, you can write. But I'll really beg for your attention. Praise the Lord. Read up, quite up. Let me see. Okay, we're going to read up to verse number 7. Are you all in the book of Daniel? Chapter number 3. Here we go. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And the king Nebuchadnezzar sent a word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, and the magistrates. Oh, the whole entourage was there. The whole leadership of the government was there, and all the officials of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse number 3, so the satraps and the administrators and the governors and the counselors and the treasurers and the judges, the magistrates and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then Herod cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, all people, all peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn and the flute and the harp, the lyre and the psaltery and the symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up." Verse number 6. "And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Verse number 7. "So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up." Verse number 8. "Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews." Somebody say, the devil is always around. Oh yes, when you're doing something for the Lord, the enemies, your haters, will always be looking at you. Somebody say amen. "And therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever.'" Verse number 10. "You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, and the symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image." Verse number 11. "And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this man, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not deserve they do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Verse number 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury. Somebody say, in rage and fury. Ooh, we'll come to that. In rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought this man before the king. Verse number 14. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up?" Verse number 15. "Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn," maybe somebody lied to me, somebody brought some backbiting about you, "but I want you to do it in my presence." This is what King Nebuchadnezzar is telling them in verse number 15. "Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, and the symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good for you. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter.'" Somebody say amen. "I have no need to answer you in this matter. I have already made up my mind whom I shall serve." Glory be to Jesus. Verse number 17. "If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king." Verse number 18, and you can underline verse number 18, because this is the most, I believe, according to whatever the energy of my mind tells me. "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image you have set up." Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar fought, full of fury, and the expression in his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times. Somebody say 7 times. More than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind. Somebody say bind. Bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their trousers and their turbans and other garments. In other words, they were wrapped up and they were tied up. And they and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 22, therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse number 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound, tied up into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose and walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. My God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. Father, in the name of Jesus, dissect this text for us, Lord, as you've been breaking it into my spirit bits by bits. Father God, I come here to honor you, O Father, and to respect and to exalt you and to extol you. Use my mouth, Lord, even to communicate this word into the hearts of your people, to the glory and honor of your name. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody who loves the Lord, say amen. Amen. I want to bring to you a message that the Lord placed in my heart that I call the reservoir of honor for your God. Somebody say the reservoir of honor for your God. And for the purpose of illustrating this message, I'm going to use this as the reservoir of honor for my God. Amen. This I will use as a reservoir that pours honor into this vessel that I call a reservoir for the honor that I have for my God. Amen. Now, when we talk about honor, what are we really talking about? When we talk about honoring God, we are talking about the acknowledgement of his supremacy and his almightiness. Praise the Lord. We are talking about his greatness. We talk about his worth. We talk about his supremacy. And we know in our hearts that we cannot place a price tag for what he is worth. We cannot even compare him with any other person. We do not acknowledge the sovereignty of God just because of the things that he has done for us. But we acknowledge his goodness and we recognize his worth just because he is God. Praise be to God. Honor, when we talk about honoring God, It is that state of mind whereby you are left without any shadow of doubt that somewhere, someplace, that God at certain time put this earth together. He hung the elements someplace at some point somewhere. And you know without a shadow of doubt that he is in existence. And that you know that he is the Lord of lords and that he is the King of kings. And that he is in a class by himself. Glory be to Jesus. When you honor God, you're left without a shadow of doubt that he is the King of kings. Praise the Lord. When God created you and me, he created you for the purpose of having fellowship with him. He endowed us with favor. He endowed us with a uniqueness that is without any other living creature here on earth. He gave you a sound mind. He created you. Bible says that he created you in his own image and in his own likeness. Everything about you, everything that has been put together and that consists of you is made to glorify God. Everything, whether they be the members of your body, whether they be the intellect that God has given you, whether it be how you think, whether it be how you walk, whether it be how you talk, it is supposed to give honor to God. Hallelujah. And even though God gave us dominion over the things of this earth, there are certain things that we are not able to accomplish. As a matter of fact, nothing can we accomplish here on earth, why not for his power? Praise God. And it is ludicrous when God has prospered me, when he has given me everything within my ability to step forward and look at the things that I have done and conclude that these are the things that I have done by my own power and by my own ability. Anybody who fails to honor God, whether he be an individual or a nation or a church or an organization, when they fail to honor God, when they fail to acknowledge the supremacy of God, they end up in ruins. You know, countries, most of you have come from Africa. And you can identify by picking up the nations that have been at war. For example, our country called Kenya. We are surrounded by nations that have been at war. When you look at the foundations of these nations, they have dishonored the Lord God Almighty. You remember, like back in the day when we used to have just on the west side of Kenya, there used to be Uganda, and they were being led by a tyranny called Idi Amin. What was happening in that nation? There was war, there was calamity, and there was disgrace over that nation. But immediately, when a king or a president who came forth, who loved God in the name of Yoweri Museveni. And by the way, his wife is a born-again Christian. And they started interceding for that nation. Things turned around for Uganda. That a country that was rejected and that was in turmoil, God was able to turn it around. Why? Because they began to honor the name of the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. War has sprung up in almost every nation that neighbors the nation of Kenya. But even in spite of tribal animosity, in spite of threatening warfare, God has preserved the nation of Kenya. Why? Because we have men and women who know how to get into the caves and call upon the name of the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. You need to go back into your history, back into your village. And all you need to do is pick up a few individuals who never honored God or never regarded the name of the Lord. Where are they today? It happens to an individual. It can happen to a nation. And it can happen to an organization when we fail to honor God. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. I see honor. So many things that we can talk about honoring God. Honor is a weapon. Honor is a weapon that can fight for you. I wish God can open up our eyes and see what honor can do. And I see just over time I receive, you know, offers from credit card companies, and they tell me if you can accept my card, you know, you can go ahead and swipe it in some grocery stores. You can use it to buy this, and you can use it to buy that. And when you use your card, you can earn some points. And you later can use those points to travel by air, you know. And if you're wise enough and you know how to apply credit, you can pick up that card and you can swipe it and you can use it. And then later you can end up with some points. That's what happens when I honor God. I earn some honor points when I serve God. You can honor God in so many ways. You honor God by responding to the call of ministry. You can honor God by reaching out to somebody who is discouraged. You can honor God by, the Bible actually tells us to honor God with our wealth and with our productivity. Praise be to God. The Bible says, honor thee, the Lord, with your wealth and the first fruits of your labor. And when you do every little thing that you do in the kingdom of God, church, listen to me, it adds up into your reservoir. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shake your reservoir. Just imagine you have a reservoir of the honor for your God. Shake it. Can you hear something? Can you obey me, please, in the house? Can you shake? Do you hear something in there? Is there any points that you have, your honor points that you can right now use, that God is willing to use to glorify his name? God, listen, church. God is looking for somebody throughout the face of the earth so that he can mightily use them. And what God is looking for, he is looking to see if you have some reservoir of honor. Because God will take the honor you have for him and he will go and use it for his own glory. Whoa, what am I saying? God will use, this is what I said. God will look at each and every one of us, and he is cunning to see whether you have any reservoir of honor for him so that he can pick up that honor and use it for his own glory. Somebody missed it. I'll say it again. God is in the business of looking to see whether you have any level of honor for him so that he can pick up that honor and use it for his own glory. God is interested with that honor. He is cheerfully looking for it. He is pursuing it with all his might. And let me tell you, every little thing you do, it adds up to the reservoir of your honor for your God. Do you have any honor points? Did you give your alms to the poor? Was somebody ever hungry and you heard the voice of God speaking to you to walk into a grocery store and buy them something? And when you obeyed, did you know that you already earned some honor points? Do you have some honor points within you? Hallelujah. God is interested with anything inside of there. And you see what happens is this is how God does it. Excuse me. This is how he does it. I wish you can. Can you hold this glass for me, my brother? Whenever God comes and finds some honor within you, he uses it. He uses that honor. And so you are emptied of that honor. So, and God uses that little honor for his own glory. And the business that you have is to go out and serve him and honor him. So that when you serve him, you're adding into your reservoir. Praise the Lord. When you're giving your tithes, you're honoring God. When you're giving your offerings, when you're visiting somebody who is in need, you're adding into the reservoir of your honor. Are you listening to me? You can sit down, my brother. Shake up that reservoir of honor. Feel if there is something in there. Glory, glory be to Jesus. The reservoir of honor. Now, there are a few things I would like us to examine to see what God talks about honor. Now, God uses our honor for uses the honor that we have for him to accomplish his purposes. For instance, what do I mean by this? God wants to display his glory to a certain people. Many times God will go out, and this is what it says in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, verse number 21. Let's read it very, very quickly. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for the honorable use, set apart as holy, useful for the master's house, ready for every good work. And now I remembered how God went and found this Samaritan woman, and Jesus tells her about her whole story, you know? And Jesus, and this lady tells Jesus, and Jesus recognizes that she is not, she doesn't have it all together. Let me tell you, God is in the business of working ourselves inside out. God is not looking for people who have it all together. But God is willing and ready and able to go under the bridges and get people who do not have it together. Praise be to God. And I've told you many times, do not point at your finger at anybody, because you never know what God might do with them. Praise be to God. And God uses, he picks up a body that has a dishonorable, and causes it to be honorable, so that he may make them holy and use them for their own work. And God, Jesus finds a Samaritan woman. You all know that she had five husbands. But God knows if she can convert that one that has been rejected, and if she can convert her, then she can go out and glorify God. Amen? So God is willing to use the honor that we have for him to accomplish his purposes. Number two. God will honor those who honor him. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verse number 30. This is what the Bible says. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I promised that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me and forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will do what? I will honor. And for those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Praise the Lord. So God will honor those who honor him. So if you have some honor within your reservoir, you don't have to worry in spite of the things that you go through. Because in times of dire circumstances, the Lord will definitely come and honor you. Just because you honored him, he will honor you. My business is to ensure that my reservoir of honor has something in it. Praise the Lord. Do you have something in your reservoir of honor? Have you earned some honor points, children of God? Oh, praise. We are going somewhere. Praise the Lord. Number three. Honoring God with our productivity brings increase. Honoring God with our productivity brings increase. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 3, verse number 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce or income, then your barns will be filled with plenty. And your vats, in other words, the holding vessels will be bursting with new wine. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce or income, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Hallelujah. That is something, let me tell you, church. If you can get the blessedness of that verse, see, I'll tell you this. When I came here, I lasted about a couple years. I bought my son Ron a game of Mario. And sometimes you play the game of Mario as you ascend to other levels, you go winning points and higher points. If you hit your enemy, you get more points, right? Have you seen those things? The way you click, you earn more points. And by the end, you finish the first round, you have so many points. That is what happens. When you visit somebody who is in need, God credits you with a certain number of points. Okay? And all points are not the same. So when you give to God out of the substance of what he has given you, God gives you a number of points that are credited to you. And he puts them in the reservoir of the all you have for your God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? And he says in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, that we honor the Lord with our wealth and with the first fruits of your produce or income, then your barns will overflow with plenty. In other words, what God is telling you, that we need to recognize that he is the one who has given us the increase. And so when he has given us the increase, we need to come back and honor him with what he has honored us with. Praise the Lord. So when you get to him, God credits the reservoir of your honor. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Let me tell you. I'll give you a short story. I was just sharing with my friend and just the other day, about 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, I heard the voice of the Lord speaking to me to give $60 to somebody. Friend of mine, just, you know, I felt the Lord telling me, give $60 to this person. And as I was giving this money out, I went into my account. To be honest with you, I think I had only $62.38. So I got out the $60 and I gave this person. And I felt good because I obeyed the Lord. How many of you have been in such an area and you felt God telling you, get $20 and give to your brother or to your sister because they could be having a need, or just bless them with something? So the following week, there was some work I had done for somebody when I was working somewhere. And you know the way you are in a place of work and they deduct some escrow and they put it in a separate account. And I thought I had about $200, $300. And so something just came into my mind and reminded me. I don't even know what happened. Something reminded me to call the manager and tell him, hey, activate my card, because they had these cards that they gave us. And that's why they put the money in. And so I called him and he said, oh, I told you that you have to wait for about 45 days for the money to be recovered to you. And I said, it's only $200, $300. Why should I keep on bothering? But something within me told me, continue to persist. So I called him. I told him, hey, I need my money. You need to activate my card so I can get my $200. After all, I worked for it. So it's my $200. And so I called him. And as I continued to call him, he said, okay, you've bugged me enough. Let me tell you, the Bible is true. Knock and the door shall be. Some of us give up just because somebody told you no. Continue knocking on that door. Because as you continue to knock on that door, you'll bug them enough and they will finally open the door. So I'm calling them and they said, okay, Anthony, I will authorize, I'll do something on my computer so that I can release your card. And finally, he released my card. And when he authorized my money, it was only $50. I called my wife and I told her, I thought I had more than $50. But then I realized that the $50 he had given me was just an advance that you normally get when you need an advance. So I called him and I told him, that was not the money that I really needed. My money was more than $50. So he told me, you know what? I think I cannot really activate. I need to call a superior figure so that he can activate the money. So I told him, give me the name and the number of the person that I can call so that they can activate. I need my $200. So I persisted. That day, I think I called him about 10 times, man. I never give up. I continue to knock on his door. Finally, I was given the number to call somebody that had the power to unlock the card. And so I'm calling this person, and I could not get hold of them. And I left a message. I told him, I have been calling the manager. This is the 10th time, and I've called them, and I need my money. I work for it, which is my $200. Whatever it is, like, open up the card. I need my money. Let me tell you, I think when she heard that voicemail, she knew this person was really mad. Anyway, cut a long story short, my card was activated, and when I called, there was 1,597 and some change. And I said, oh, hashandobo seka bokalabakata. Beka potoloze seka. Let me tell you, I was so excited because at the time we needed about 1,400. It didn't even exceeded what we needed. And immediately God reminded me, remember how you obeyed me? But it does not always work like that. You obey God whether he is going to do it, something for you, or he is not going to do it for you. Are you listening to me? Let me tell you. The kind of miracle you expect is for God to move the moon from the southern hemisphere to the northern hemisphere. That is your description of a miracle. But let me tell you, for me to walk like a man right now through this church and come early and worship God is a miracle. Glory to Jesus. Because I know there is somebody in the hospital who is cannot even breathe. And they have to put some instruments through his body so that they can give him oxygen. There is miracles that you experience every day of your life. Oh, don't get me started now, man, because I want to. Oh, Jesus. Miracles happen in our lives every day. Three days ago. I'm a person like you. And sometimes I say, I wonder how am I going to meet this and that. And I need to go to work. Maybe I need to sacrifice this Sunday so I can go and work so that I can put our money together. I'm like you. Sometimes you do like that because sometimes I don't see you on Sundays, right? And sometimes too, I feel like that too. Because I'm a human being. I don't see most of you because sometimes you are so stressed and say, Daddy, who do you move? Huh? Go here. And so I don't see you. Sometimes I don't even see you for 3 weeks. And I'm wondering where you are. But listen, church. My wife told me, listen, Pastor. Pastor Tony, listen. The God that you speak about every Sunday is able to provide for you. I can even send you a shorter distance and make the money that you really wanted to make the whole entire weekend. I told her, yes, ma'am, I hear you. And let me tell you, God, out of his miraculous workings, he orchestrates somebody to call me and pay me X amount of money, more than I would have made over that weekend. My God. You don't understand what I'm talking about. 3 days later, I show up in this person where I am just showing up to deliver this load, and I'm going there. And you know what he tells me, Pastor? While you are waiting, can you, within 5 minutes, move this trailer and into that trailer, put it over there? How much do you want me to pay you? Hey, hey, hey. Man, let me tell you. I said, God, thank you, Jesus. You had me, Lord. You know, I need every single dollar right now. God, you know what I need. And you know what? There's a place I used to work. They used only to pay $20. But I don't want to say $20 because he might pay me more. And let me tell you, what I was supposed to do, Maruti, you know what? It's just moving that trailer from there to there. Two of them. He said, can I pay you $100? I said, yeah, $100, yes. Let me tell you, 5 minutes, he gave me $100. I have it in my pocket. Now, what I am telling you, it does not always work like that. But there are some times when God will reveal yourself to yourself like that so that you know that he is still in your case. Are you listening to me? Glory be to Jesus. So when you give, when you obey God, when you honor God, the Bible says that I will honor you back. When you attend that meeting that you have been called many times, you've been texted and you ignore the text because your presence is highly needed. Because when you're in that meeting, you encourage somebody who you've been mentoring. And when they see you, God is glorified. You better stop everything and attend that meeting. Are you listening to me? I let me tell you guys, can I come down please and forgive me if I step on us on our toes? I was in high school. When I was in high school, every time They would schedule the Christian Union meetings when we were supposed to be studying. And let me tell you, they would encourage us, oh, you need to come. You need to come for these Christian Union meetings. You know what? You need to be valuable. Just as we always encourage us to come to church. And let me tell you, every time I would attend that class, there are some people I left in the room studying, and I would say, oh, God, I am going to praise you, and these guys are studying. They are going to pass, and I'm going to fail. Let me tell you, I don't want even to speak about every single one of them. There was a guy who used to sit next to me. But today, if I tell you what that guy, even though he was left alone, he sacrificed to read and to study and to do everything that he needed. And me, who opted to go to the Christian Unions and to praise my God, it is like a distance of west and east what God ended up doing with us. Sometimes we concentrate on the things that we are looking right now. But let me tell you, child of God, I wish you can listen to me, because God told me to tell you that when you honor God, whatever you can cover with 1,000 days, you can take only one day to uncover it. Are you listening to me? Whatever you're thinking that you're going to accomplish within 40 days, God can convert all that within a day, give you supernatural capability to do whatever you need to do and overtake what you think you cannot even do. He is faithful. Oh God, I wish I can tell somebody that he is faithful. When you honor God, he will honor you back. When you honor him, he will honor you back. And God remains faithful to his word. My God. Oh Jesus. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your produce, the first fruits of your time, the first fruits of whatever God has put in you. There are some of us here, God has just given you the giftness of encouraging somebody. Why do you withhold it when people are suffering out there and they're crying out for you to be manifested in their lives so that you can encourage them? Somebody called me the other week and he told me, Pastor, I'm crying out because I've got a situation that I cannot even share. But I want you to pray for me. I want you to stand with me because I'm going through something. I used to serve God. I used never to attend, to fail, to miss, to attend church. But now, for some time, I've not even honored God. I don't even give my tithes anymore. And you know what? I prayed and I cried out to God with this person who called me. And I asked her, what is going on? And she said, Pastor, I cannot even share. It is so hard. It hurts me. It has broken my heart. I don't even know what to do. And I told her, I said, the Lord was speaking to me. The Lord is telling me that you go back to the things that you used to do for him and everything is going to be okay. When you honor God, you'll never go down to ruins. Are you listening to me, child of God? When you honor God as a family, when you honor God as a church, when you honor God as an individual, he will come through for you no matter what. Are you listening to me? And so I told her, how do you go to work? Because she told me, my car doesn't go far. You know, it breaks down. I told her, trust God to give you transportation so that you can go to church. You can go and praise God, and it will be well with your soul. Praise the Lord. See, God gives us increase. He has even told us in the book of Exodus, honor your father and mother. And what will happen? That is the fifth commandment. What does it say? Huh? Many days will be. So in other words, if you do not honor your father and mother, your days might be. Okay, I don't want to go there because I know it's a little bit sensitive. But you honor your father, there is increase every time we want to honor God. Generosity to the needy and the poor honors God. Proverbs 14:31, the Bible says, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker. But he who is generous to the needy honors him. Are you listening to me? Whoever oppresses a man insults his maker. But he who is generous to the needy honors him. Number five, the devil hates when we honor God. The devil hates when we honor God. Can I say it again? The devil doesn't like you to honor God. Now listen, every single believer in here has favor surrounding you. Okay? Every single one. Moruti, you have favor. Purity, you have favor. Ben, you have favor. Every single one has favor. And the enemy will take you no matter what so that they can use the favor that you have enjoyed in your life. Why do I say this? Because when Joseph was sold into Egypt and he goes into Potiphar's house, he carried with him some favor. Are you listening to me? And the Bible tells me, when you read in the book of Genesis chapter number 39, I believe, when he goes here, the Bible says that everything that he did prospered. The sheep and the things of the field for Potiphar, who was an official of Pharaoh, prospered. And Pharaoh realized this man is high favored. And let me tell you, in your department right now, I wish they can give you the report of the finances. I wish they can give you a report of what happens there, because they are experiencing victory. Why? Because you're favorable. You're favorable. Your department thrives. Your company thrives because you're there. They would want you to stay. So that's what happened to Joseph. He took Joseph and he told him, I give you authority over everything over my household, but to my wife do not touch. And so everything prospered. And as he continued to do that, Potiphar's wife saw that Joseph was handsome and had, muscles, and he knew he was appealing. And he comes to Joseph and he says, you know what, Joseph? I want you to go to bed with me. But Joseph said that I cannot do this such a weird thing before my master. And immediately when that happens, I told you that the devil doesn't like you to honor God. What happens to Joseph? Immediately he stands for his God. Immediately he stands for the honor that he has for his God. Something bad happened to him. He was sent into prison. Are you listening to me? This is exactly what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God, can you give me just about 5-7 minutes so I can tell you about this? Would you be willing? You didn't come here at 11 anyway, so except a few of you. So I think it would be okay for me to extend. Except, let me not go there. So I'll be finishing the service the time most of you come here, which is 2:30. May God help us. So, in the book of Daniel, chapter number 1, I love the book of Daniel. It is just, it stands out as just a unique, it exemplifies the relationship of a maker, divine maker, and his man that he has created in the likeness and in his own image. And it talks about what happens when that man honors back his divine creator. And I love the first few chapters. In the first chapter, the Bible talks about how king in the third year of King Jehoiakim, the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, came and besieged Jerusalem. And when he besieged it, he called his chief official to get hold of fine young men. Now, some of you did know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not their original names. Their names were Azariah, Hananiah, and Azariah, I think. Whatever it is. But it was Hananiah, Azariah, and Hananiah. The first thing that he does, he changes, was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those were their Hebrew names. Now, notice the first thing King Nebuchadnezzar, Nebo king, the first thing that he did was to change their identity. The first thing that the enemy gets hold in your camp is to change who you are. But the devil is a liar, because these guys were fine and they were brought up into the ways of God and they could not compromise. And so he takes them and he puts them into the court of the king. And he wants to prepare them for 3 years. The Bible says that they were to be taught the languages of different languages and to be given choice foods of the king so that they would be prepared to serve the courts of the king. In verse number 11, I believe, I'm pretty sure, in verse number 11 out there, Daniel decided not to defile himself. That Daniel, to Melchizedek, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel and Azariah, he decided not to defile himself. Praise be to God. He said, the honor that I have for my God, I cannot defile myself. And he goes and tells Ashpenaz, the chief of the courts of the king. He told him, you know what? We are not going to dine in the delicacies of the king. But test us. For me, Azariah, Hananiah, and Azariah, give us vegetables and water for 10 days. 10 days. Why did he say 10 days? God, I don't even have time to tell you about 10 days. 10 days is a divine completeness of things. God, when God tells to speaks about 10, it is a divine completion of how it's like he has received a whole enchilada of everything that he was expecting from you. And Daniel, they had studied the word of the Lord and they knew what the numbers meant. When God speaks about 10, you go back and see that Noah was in the 10th generation when God repented why he created human beings. And actually he said, gather yourself with your family and other animals and get yourself into the boat because I'm just about to finish this whole race. The 10th generation. God gives Egypt the 10 plagues. In other words, a complete enchilada of my wrath. Glory be to Jesus. So 10 said, you know what? Test us in 10 days. Test us in 10 days. Give us vegetable and water. When God requires your 10th, your tithe, it means that he is requiring your whole. In other words, when you give your 10th, God, it's like you gave him everything that he expected from you. Glory be to Jesus. A 10th of everything. And the Bible says that they drank vegetables and they ate vegetables and drank water for 10 days. And Daniel says in the book of chapter 1, after the end of the 10 days, when they were examined, none looked better than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel. Azariah and Daniel. They were 10 times better than those other people. Why? Because when you choose to honor God, glory be to Jesus, God steps in as a fourth man and he came and commanded the vegetables and he said, you vegetables, you must produce more than the nutrients of the king. He spoke to the water and he told the water, water, you will cease from being water enough. But I put some vitamin D, I put some vitamin in you, I put some nutrients that you all need so that after the 10 days, you look better than these people who have been taking the choicest wine of the king. Something happens when you honor God. I love verse chapter number 10. In chapter number 2, it talks about the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had. And he dreamt something and he required his astrologers to come and tell him what he dreamt. And I love what Daniel said when he sought the Lord. He told Azariah and Ananiah and Azariah told him, you know what? We are also going to be destroyed with these other wise men because the king has offered a decree that would exterminate all the wise men if nobody comes in to tell him what he dreamt. And they sought the Lord. And the Lord, because he had seen the faithfulness of these guys, he had seen that there was still some honor in their reserve of honor. And he said, I've seen you guys walk with me. I have seen you stand for me before. I have seen you stand for my word before. I am going to come and help you. Hey, Daniel, don't worry about what the king has demanded. Is there anything that is too big for me? Is there anything that is impossible for me? And in the night, Daniel saw exactly what the king dreamt. And he came and told it to the king. And after that, we see Daniel being moved into a place of honor. Hallelujah. Honoring God has its benefits. We are losing. If your reservoir is running empty, I bet you, I dare you to do something so that there might be something. Because when God's face and I are raging throughout the face of the earth, they are looking for somebody who has a reservoir, who has some honor in his reservoir. Glory be to Jesus. And so in chapter number 3, we see a decree that has been made by the king, Nebuchadnezzar. He creates a golden image as we read. And he says, he who does not bow to this image shall be thrown into the fiery furnace. Oh, I love God. But these guys know their God better than anybody knows. Didn't you know, whether you like it or not, there are people who no matter what you do, they will hate you. Did you know that no matter what you accomplish, no matter how you please people, there will be people who really do not like you. Outright. They will always speak up against you. They will always be at your case, no matter how you achieve it. Look at Jesus on the cross of Calvary. You know, when he is taken there in Matthew 27:33, he is there and he is hanging on the cross. The people, same people that he performed miracle among us, came and told him, oh, you claim to be a savior. Now save yourself. Get yourself from the tree. And there was a robber that was crucified with him, and he's also insulting Jesus. There are haters. There will always be haters around you. Glory by God, my God. And so, King Nebuchadnezzar tells them, if you do not bow to this golden image, I will throw you into the fiery furnace. How many of you know that he didn't need to have multiplied the intensity of the fire 7 times? When you throw anything in the fire, you don't have to increase the intensity. You will be burned whatsoever. But he raised it 7 times because number 7 talks about perfection. Perfected hatred, perfected wrath. That is exactly what he received when, you remember in chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar, he goes up into a lofty place and he looks into the whole of Babylon and he says, is this not the Babylon that I have created by my own hands and for my own might? And the Bible says that the words were still in his mouth when he was converted from a human being into an animal. And he started eating grass and he started moving in the fields like an animal. Watch out when you glorify, when you think that you have accomplished things by your own self. Are you listening to me, church? And so, he says that I'm going to multiply it 7 times. And anybody who does not bow to this image, I am going to put you into, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. But I thank God because men who honor God know their position. When you know God, you don't have to be worried because you know what? God will come and fight for you. But you know, when you know God, you will say this. Like the 3 Hebrew children said, we know that our God is able to deliver us. But even if he does not deliver us, we are not going to bow to your image. So here, O King, whether you want to multiply the fire 7 times, I know that the God that I serve is ready to rescue me. But even if he doesn't rescue me, you can go ahead and wrap me up and throw me into the fire. Because to die is gain. If I live, it is still okay. Praise be to God. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told him, we don't need to answer you concerning this issue. You don't need to answer people concerning the issues of staying pure. Because as long as you know that you have some honor in your reservoir, let them prepare the fire for you. Let them prepare the wrath for you. I don't care whether they want to throw me into the fire. As long as I know that I have some honor in my reservoir, I know something good is going to happen. And so the Bible says that they wrapped up the 3 Hebrew children and they wanted to throw them, and they were ready to throw them into the intense fire. Remember what the Bible says, that King Nebuchadnezzar was furious when they could not bow. Oh, Shandereba, he was furious and angry. Let me tell you, the moment you make a decision to honor God in your place of work, something is going to happen to you. They might even want to dismiss you from your place of work. The moment you make a decision to honor God, the devil gets up in arms against you. And so they tie up these Hebrew children. And they were ready to get into the fire. And the moment, oh God, the moment they are bound up and thrown into the fire, the Bible says, as you saw, that the fire was so intense that it killed all the people, that the strong men of valor, called them the mighty men of valor, it swallowed them up. And when they got inside the fire, oh hallelujah, something happened. The honor that they have for their God sent out a telepathic signal to glory land, and immediately Jesus saw their honor and he showed up in their situation. I am here to encourage somebody. No matter what fire is burning around you, you are headed
Haters have even called 1-800-Flowers. They have even bought flowers, dug up your grave because they have seen a fire around you. But I'm here to tell you, as long as you have honor in your reservoir, glory to Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 43, chapter number 2, that you will go through the waters and the waters will not drown you. You will cross rivers and the rivers will not sweep you. You will go through fire and the fire will not consume you. It is okay, Pastor, if you say, see, that your haters right now might be seeing fire burning all around you. And you know what they are thinking? They have the natural instinct of what happens. When fire comes to you, it burns you up, it kills you. But something that they don't know is that you have an honor for your God, and that honor for your God is calling on the fourth man to step up in your situation. So go ahead and laugh for me. I have served the notice to my haters. I've served notice to the devil, something he doesn't know, that I carry with me a reservoir of honor. When he plans evil for me, the honor that I have for my God will speak on my behalf. Oh God, I thank you, Jesus. See, the devil doesn't know. He doesn't know what favor does. He doesn't know what honor does. And so, when they are thrown into the fiery furnace, the Bible says that they were bound. But when King Nebuchadnezzar looked at them, they appeared like one who was like the fourth man, and he looks like the son of the gods. Are you listening to me? Honor sends out something called a telepathic signal to glory land. Every time there is a fire around you, all you need to know that I have a reservoir of honor. I have some points, and those points will call out on glory land, and they will bring the fourth man in the situation. So whether they laugh at you, whether they are digging up the grave for you, whether they are completely given up on you, they have even, let me tell you, I'm on crunch time. The game is not over yet. Don't dismiss me because I've been put down on the floor. Do not dismiss me. You can even call me named. Say my ministry is finished. But I'm still on crunch time. I am still on crunch time. Until the whistle is blown, the game is not over. I'm still in the game. Are you listening to me? Tell your devil. Tell the devils. Tell your haters. I'm still on the game. Some of you football lovers, you've been in a situation or you foot like Jimmy Soccer when they're almost done. How many of you have seen that last minute? Somebody just looks at the goal and shoots. And unexpectedly, the other side thought that they were winning. And they had even dismissed you. They had even completely declared let me tell you, there are people who have already thrown a party to celebrate your downfall. I know. There are people who have organizing secretly, behind your back, organizing for parties to celebrate your downfall. But what they don't know is that your reservoir has some honor in it. And that when you show up in that fire, when you show up in that storm, when you show up in that river, it is not going to sweep you. My God, I am preaching to the people that I've never seen, because I know I have the honor for God. I am beginning to speak to people that I've never seen. I'm beginning to invite them by faith. I am beginning to walk by the word of that says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I have to call those things that are not as if they are, because I'm a man of God. I'm anointed to preach this good word. Are you listening to me, church? Do not go down without a fight. The enemy wants to destroy you. He used your favor to his own advantage. Now that you have decided to honor your God, he hates you and he wants to put you in prison. God is a good God, and the devil is a liar. Job said, though he slays me, I will still trust the Lord. Even though he slays me, I will still trust my God. Are you listening to me? Sometimes there's a call for you to be pure, but the enemy knows that when you're pure, you are earning some honor points. And so what he will try to do is to bring a way so that you can destroy your purity. But I'm going to stay as a son of God. I'm going to be pure no matter what. I like what these Hebrew children said. I know that I'm not going to bow to your image. I know that God is able to save me. But even if he doesn't save me, I will not bow to your image. Oh, that is what I call worship. Because worship is when God has not done anything, but you're still calling on his name. Calling God even when you don't feel God. Oh, God, honoring God when your pockets are empty. Calling on God when your bankrupt is, when your bank account is red. That is what I call honoring God. And God will never let you to suffer. You will never be in ruins. Are you listening to me, church? I don't know who this message is for, but I'm here to encourage you. Yes, the haters can see fire. The haters can see you. Oh, God, going down and up in a completely drowning situation. But what they don't know, yes, they may have even calling upon the mortuary to organize for your burial, but I am still on a crunch time. Do not give me. Do not give up on me. Do not dismiss me, because my God is still alive. Stand upon your feet. Stand upon your feet, church. Stand upon your feet. God sent me to send you that when you honor God, little by little, there is going to be something. There's going to be something. Full reservoir of your honor has to have something. What do you have in your reservoir of honor? Church, listen to me. When you come to church in the morning, when you wake up in the morning, have you ever asked yourself, why is it easy when somebody has died in this city? I'm not talking about our church. When somebody dies in this city, we all congregate to the funeral place and we want to bid them by. But to the most important part of our lives, which is to come and celebrate, the devil will not want you to come and honor God through it, because he knows that when you come and lift up your hands corporately, there is a mega blessing that comes out of it. And therefore, in the morning, when you wake up on Sunday morning, he wants to make that sleep so sweet. I have declared in my heart that I will kick on the blankets when it is 6 o'clock on Sunday morning, because it is a day to go honor the Lord. I'll wake up and go brush my teeth, put some shower on my body, put some clothes, and come through those doors ready to worship my master. It can happen to you. Do not yield to the deceptions of the enemy. Those little things that you ignore, those are the things that build up, that will protect you in the future. You are putting a reservoir, and God is looking for an honor in the reservoir so that he can use it for his own purpose. Glory be to Jesus. Lift up your right hand unto the Lord as we conclude. Hallelujah. Is there anything you can tell God? Is there anything you can ask God to help you? There are certain things maybe you've been lagging behind, like honoring God with your finances, honoring God with your tithes and offerings, honoring God with your time, sending some text messages to somebody who is discouraged. Have you neglected the house of God? Have you neglected? Where is the zeal? Where is the zeal that consumed you? Back in Africa, you'd walk 20 miles going to the house of God. Now that you have a car, you cannot even dare come into the house of God. You can repent and God can take you back to the place where he wants you to be. There has to be something in the reservoir of honor. In my reservoir, I've made up my mind. I don't care who comes here. I don't care whether there are two or three people. But I have declared in my heart, I will come early in the morning and I will lift up the name of my God, because I know what he has done. I know who I'm serving. I know who I'm lifting up. I will honor my God. I want there to be honor in my reservoir, so whenever he needs it, he can point up at me. And he can call me, Tony, come here, I need you. I need to glorify myself in this city. I need to show myself up to a homeless guy. I need to clean him up. I need to show him and put some honor in him so that I can use him when he calls. Are you ready to say, here I am, Lord, I'm ready to answer? When he calls you, what is that call that he has put in your heart? For too long a time he has told you to be an usher, but you've been putting it away. For too long a time he has told you that you can do this and that in that church, and you put it aside. A time is now. There is still hope when you can call God. As long as there's breath in your life, there is still hope. You can call God and he can turn you around. You can call on God and he can bring you back. Yay! You are on crunch time. It is not over. Don't think that it is over. Those dead dreams can be revived, because the last whistle has not gone off. In the name of Jesus. Who am I talking to? Open up your mouth right now. Open up your mouth right now. Tell God to fashion you back to his own will. Tell God to fashion you back. This is your church. This is your church. You must love this church because this is the name of the building that is called by the name of the Lord. If you serve him here, you will be diligent in what you do and you reap of the reward that he has for you. Who am I talking to? You put it aside for too long a time. Lift up your hand right now as a sign of surrender. He has spoken some nice things when you're sleeping. And he told you can do this. You can do that in that church. But you have lagged behind. You can be the one singing the worship team. You can be the one making tea or doing something in the house of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you might be surrounded by fire, but that fire is not going to consume you. When the three Hebrew children came out, the Bible tells us not even a strand of their hair was smelling smoke. Why? Because there was a fire neutralizer. When you honor God, the fire neutralizer, the storm chaser was going to be in your midst. You need the fourth man. You cannot make it alone. You'll be killed by the forces of this earth. But when the fourth man shows up in your situation, everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. I said everything is going to be all right. When he is on your side, who is going to be against you? In the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up your names, oh God. You know everything, my Father. And I brought this word, God, I don't know whether the way you brought it to me, but my God, I pray that this word lands into somebody. Somebody who is working. Somebody who has taken for granted about the power of honor. I pray that they will regard honor for you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That we shall honor you one more time to the glory and honor of your name. We give you glory and honor, Father. Father God, you are fighting for us. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for those that need significant miracles in their lives. God, you will look at the reservoir of their honor. Let that honor send telepathic signals to you and show up in their situations. Break for the miracle so that their haters will know. Those that are dismissed them and kill them in advance, they will know. They will know that they are anointed. They will know that they are children of God. They will know that the honor was fighting for them. In the name of Jesus, come through for their lives. Come through for children. Come through for us, oh God, as a church, as individuals. Bless us financially. Teach us, God, in a new way to honor you with our wealth and in our income to the glory and honor of your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Touch each and every one of us to the glory and honor of your name. Father, I thank you because you're faithful. Go out, Lord, and accomplish stuff for us. Things that we do not even see. Things that have been organized to kill us. Things that have been organized to destroy our lives and our children. Father God, bring some bomblets and cause them to disarray because of your honor that we have for you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I declare, Lord, that none of us, my God, will suffer. I declare that we'll have clarity in the area of our ministries. In the name of Jesus. Give us clarity in the name of Jesus. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Father God, that men and women who we do not even know shall come into this church. And they shall come to worship you because there's an environment to honor you. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody say amen. Amen.